This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 21st of May, 1963. The title of this lecture is The Helitrobus Implants. This tape is 73 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. People of Earth, we come in peace. We bring a plowshare, not a sword. But we won't use any clouds to spread the message. Oh, I see you characters haven't been really up to the front of the track yet. All of those Helitrobus implants, of course, came out of clouds originally, you know. And this is the 21st of May, AD 13. Galactic, well, that's beside the point. You, don't look to me like you've been making the progress you ought to. You just don't look to me like you've been making the progress. But possibly if you'd taken a retread in the Keokuk Central Office, maybe you would have made better progress. An interesting problem has presented itself. And so forth. Every once in a while, an industrious D of T will treat an HPA like somebody in a co-audit, you know, and give them all the latest tapes and materials and just overwhelm them with good, you see, and never teach them how to audit. And would you like to be handling the material you're handling without knowing how to audit? Be rough, wouldn't it? Well, the degree that we don't make good auditors and the degree that we can't give St. Hill training to as many as possible, we are actually holding back Scientology. You're in just a little bit of a breathing space right at the present instant. This is just a little bit of a breathing space. I was playing tag with the atomic war and the enthusiasm with which certain misguided degraders wish to launch off the bomb and all of this sort of thing actually stood across our track rather hard. And it caused a tremendous acceleration in research, which ordinarily would have been plotted out across much longer space of time, and gives us something of an emergency characteristic on this, because we've still got to beat this line. We've still got to beat this. And these characters don't know what they're doing. I can imagine them now, you know, saying, well, to be happy or not to be happy. You know, I don't know. I can see Kennedy walking around now. Well, is it really the beginning of heaven or the end of heaven, you see? And so on. He's going over and see the Pope, and there's the Pope sitting there and so forth, and he's got an electronic that's cutting his guts out, you know. And he's saying, bless you, my son. Bless you, my son, you know. Wild game going on. And these are the characters who are telling you whether or not you could launch a bomb or not launch a bomb, you see. So there's no good sense involved in any of this. And it's sort of in the cards. And we're winning. We're winning hands down. Now, our technological advance at this particular time is sweeping on much faster than I can give you all of the fine bits of, so that I can give you the technology and the way you arrive at the technology. And this is the best that I can do. Now, we've long talked about clears and so forth, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And there are clears and so forth, and we can make clears by our own definition. And as far as the public is concerned, well, this is a very interesting advance. And as Peter once told me, he says, man, he says, but I need this, he says, to interest people out in the public. Don't go knocking out this grade of clear, see? Well, he's perfectly right, see? Perfectly right. But in actual fact, the state of clear is not only attainable, but is being attained today here and there without any, hardly any remark at all. Now, For instance, in the last 8.5 hours of auditing, I found 3 goals and run 3 banks on a PC. 3 complete GPMs. Well, this is rather a dizzy rate of speed, don't you think? All right, now you haven't got any time to celebrate. That's what's wrong with that. Achieving these things, and there's no chance to stay to the PC. Now you have to break out the champagne, you see, because it usually happens in the middle of the session. By the middle of the next session, or the end of the session, he's already gone beyond it. Achieving these various points. Now, if you're achieving this now, you might be quite interested in the fact that states of beingness, undreamed of before, exist immediately before you. They're in your very immediate future, before Christmas probably, if you keep your nose to the grindstone and keep your case going. You're right there. Now, the technological win is tremendous, and there are only about 5% of the cases you're going to run into, they're going to give you a bit of a Thetan ache, because they don't have what I choose to call now, because it was the nation or small government that did these things, Heliotropus, not to be confused with Heliotrope. Heliotrope is the Galactic Confederation. It's Heliotropus. Call these things the Heliotropus implants. For lack of a better designation, because 43 trillion isn't accurate for all cases, don't you see, and that sort of thing. You can't give it by a time date. There's no reason to keep calling it by a time date. Let's call it by something that was less well known that we can identify. Call them the Heliotropus implants, and it tells you these are the implants which begin with the electronic clouds over planets and have the dichotomy plus and minus and so forth, and sweep on through in a certain series. And people have been through them once, twice, three, four times. And we have the patterns of the first series very accurately. We'll shortly have the patterns of the second series. All that makes very easy auditing. We even have a technique that handles this now, 3N, which has just been released. And that's the same pattern that you've been using. Speed it up a bit. And there's even a shortened version of that, which you will need very soon. You need this. You'll go right on needing this from here on out with the PC. You'll need what's called 3N. But 3N has to be shortened after PC's gone for 3 or 4 banks because the PC's running too fast. Friends, I've got PC up to a point of the RI blows on statement. This PC has been very carefully textbook audited and is now blowing on statement. There's no, you call it back and it doesn't even flick, so you have to say, that rocket red. That rocket red. Why? Because, well, it rocket red when they said it. But you haven't even got a tail on the rocket read a lot of the time. You've got the accelerated start, but instead of a tail on it, you've got a blowdown. The thing doesn't have a chance to do a complete rocket read. It disintegrates. It does an accelerated beginning, goes like mad, a tone arm moves down, PC says fine, you read the thing back and it's quiet as a mouse. You can't get a tick out of this thing. You haven't even opposed it yet. You can't even get a tick out of it. All right, well, that, of course, after a while, when a PC's doing that, it's a waste of time to read the RI back to him, so you'll get 3N2, which is an abbreviated form of 3N, just like 3N is an abbreviated form of 3M2, don't you see? But you won't be using 3M2 on these implants because the other's too easy. Now, what can you cut out? Well, I just leave it up to you. What can you cut out? Because your job, let me tell you this very straight from the shoulder, your job is to make sure that the charge is blown out of that RI. And that is your job as an auditor. And let me put a bug in your ear right now. Don't you let any PC talk you out with ARC brakes or anything else out of getting that charge off. You understand? Because the PC will natter, the PC will yap, the PC will this and will that about your reading it a second time, how you're cross-checking or doing anything like that. Because you can do these things without losing too much speed. But the PC starts suppressing his cognitions in order to make speed, you see. Suppressing this, suppressing that. And all of a sudden you've got a little fluky RR that goes flick, pow, and you see it stop. It's a choked down. PC suppressing almost as fast as he's giving it to you. And you say the PC is very nattery, and the PC is this way and that way, and therefore you mustn't go in and clean that up. Well, you've been defeated as an auditor the moment you make that conclusion. You got it? Let the PC yap, because your payoff comes in the next two or three GPMs. And if you've done that well in the first that you're running, then your blows through the second are easier, the third, the fourth GPM, and you're just flying by enunciation and recognition. You understand? And you'll be running maybe a GPM every 45 minutes of auditing time. You got that now. Now all you have to do is get a Nelson eye on the E-meter, a Britishism. He put the telescope to his blind eye that told him to withdraw, you see, and he said he didn't see anything. There is where your danger lies, because this thing chokes. You didn't get a nice RR. You say, well, I'll let it go, because the PC is running so well, and this PC gets so nattery and ARC breaky every time I stop him, and reason. Now you're just made tremendous quantities of work for yourself. Every time you strike that item again in the next bank, you're going to find out that you didn't clear the charge of it in this bank. Not only are the next few RIs going to be impeded, but that item in the next bank comparably is going to be badly impeded, and you're going to stack the case up. You hear me? Now, ARC breaks won't stack the case up, but unblown RIs will. And it's your job as an auditor to get that charge off. And that's your job. And don't let any PC talk you out of it. See, you've got two choices on running these days. You've got two choices that you can make, and one of them is wrong. And that is have the PC always happy and cheerful. And the other is have the charge gone. And you just forget about that first choice. Because how anybody could run the Helitrobus implants and be happy and cheerful, I don't know. Oddly enough, after a while, they will be happy and cheerful, but only if you get the charge off early on. So nag them all you want to. Now, you can nag them to a point where the charge won't blow. See where your judgment lies? You can get them so upset and so interbulated and so jumped up that the charge won't blow. You've gone the wrong direction, don't you see? But then that was an unnecessary thing. You were making mistakes then in order to do this. You get yourself a good, clean RR that's disintegrating at the end, and it's blowing. It's obviously going. This RR is going to be gone. And you read it back, and you read it back, and then you say, well, it didn't RR again. And you read it back, and you say, are you doing anything? Are you thinking about anything? It didn't read. I'll read it again. Wannably fantastic. It didn't read that time. What's the matter? And next thing you know, the PC saying, what's happening? Where am I going? See? Well, you made a mistake. A place to really get skilled is to recognize the quality of RRs. Now, some HPA thinks, well, I'm doing pretty good. I've learned what an RR is. You take off from there. You get pretty good and learn what a choked RR is and what a disintegrating RR is. And then you'll be in business. You'll get some RRs. You could actually see the PC suppress them as they happen. For a moment there, you can see that RR stop. And you can say to the PC, what happened? PC said, well, I had a little cognition. For interest of speed of run, they start suppressing their cognitions, almost fatal, don't you see? And you You say, that's fine, thank you, call the item again, and by golly, there'll be the full RR. See? You have to learn to interpret an RR. There's nothing anybody can do to help you really beyond you finding out what one is. These wide, loose, disintegrating RR speed rapidly at the beginning. If you don't get the instant spurt at the beginning, you'll never see it as an RR because it hasn't got any RR on the end. It's disintegrated already. You see, an RR, as it goes over, has a hook, tail. And many an auditor gets so educated into recognizing an RR by its hooked tail that when he gets to a disintegrating RR, he sees no hooked tail, but he missed the spurt beginning. Now, of course, the meter is already in motion at the time that the auditor starts to interpret it. You see, he's used to having his attention caught by the fact that the thing is moving. He gets his attention, so he says, if the needle starts moving, then I should look at it and see if it's an RR. Well, of course, then he only sees the end of it, and it looks like a fall. Ah, but it had a spurt beginning. He's looked at a disintegrated RR. The thing is disintegrated before it's gone. See, that thing is blown. It's blown completely. There's nothing, no smoke left on it. You call this thing again, and it doesn't fire at all. And you say, well, I must have the wrong item. Let's random list for 45 minutes. Oh, hell's bells. You could run a whole bank in 45 minutes. It's nonsense, you see. Why? That's because the auditor doesn't have his attention on the meter to catch the beginning spurt. See, an RR is characterized by a spurted, accelerated beginning, which gives it its name. It looks like something taken off, you know, like a being shot away from its start. It's a spurting beginning. It goes, and then its other characteristics, a curled end. After it gets past over here, it goes. And an RR is always characterized by these two things. Beginning goes, and the end goes. All right, a disintegrating RR doesn't go. It only goes. All right, so if you have to have your attention caught by the meter already being in motion, you miss the beginning spurt. So you don't know if you got an RR or a fall. Then you'll see an RR start off beautifully. You could gauge the speed of an RR, how far it'll run, by just watching it. You can get used to that. And it starts off beautifully. It goes, psst, and it didn't go anyplace. That's a choked RR. And there's a suppress, or a cognition suppressed, or the PC has done something there. PC has suddenly wondered if it was covetively or something, see? Halfway through having said it. Something has happened here. And that RR isn't blown, and it won't blow until you ask the PC what happened and get rid of that suppress. And then the PC says, I was so-and-so and so-and-so, and I thought it might be because there's two here on the sheet. And so forth, and I thought it might be, and therefore, so-and-so, and you say, all right, I'm going to say the item again, inevitable catfish, all right, that rocket red, and you will, it rocket red beautifully. Where was the charge? The charge is insisted on. You must realize that these RIs don't have any more charge on them than you see on the meter. Just mark that down. This meter is not indicating the presence of charge. The rocket read doesn't tell you that there is some charge someplace. Just do a total associate. See? The rocket read is the charge. All the charge that's going to come off of that thing is seen in and has velocity in that rocket read. That is the charge. Now, you could be very pedantic and say, well, actually, the theta in the facsimile is subjected to certain impulses which causes him to impulsify and the 7.5 volt or 9 volt current, which is being passed through the corporeal resistance chamber known as a human body, is therefore modulated and monitored by the various circuits which are approached from the right-hand electrode and which terminate in the left-hand electrode. And there's a magnetic influence so that you get a visual response in the ohmmeter. Oh, dammeter. Some poor dear in Scientology every once in a while tells me, but you talk so much about electricity. I don't know anything about these things. I always shake them by the hand and say, that makes two of us. Other people pretend they know something about it. Well, this is an interesting piece of magic you've got here in an E-meter. That's for sure. This is an interesting piece of magic. And isn't it interesting that it doesn't exist elsewhere on the whole track? All recording devices and detective devices, and this is and that is and the other thing, all exist on the whole track, and there's all kinds of things. And my old pals in certain sections of this universe, well, in the Galactic Confederacy particularly, would be absolutely horrified that said, well, we developed a meter we don't have here, because their pride is that they have all the equipment that was all has ever existed or that will ever be developed. And they know every electronic activity that has ever existed or will ever exist anywhere. And that ends their modesty on the subject. And you say, well, here's a box of tricks that does something that none of our meters do. It wouldn't be a popular statement, but it'd be a true one. It's quite remarkable that it does it. So let's not worry why it does it. Let's not worry at all why it does it. Let's worry much more succinctly about the information it gives the auditor. And the information it gives the auditor is there is something there. There is nothing there. Or what is there is beyond the PC's reality. It gives us, there is something there that will be real to the PC. And that's all fine, we know all that, but let's take the next step, that this thing is charged and is discharging. Now, you've customarily in the past read this on your tone arm. Well, you don't read these heliotropous implants on your tone arm. We don't care whether the tone arm moves or not. Just skip it out in 3N. That's too much bother. Because you do a bank or two and the tone arm starts moving down. No matter how high the thing has been stuck. And all the charge that was on the original bank you were doing is coming off. It's coming off on the needle. But you'll also see the needle action reflect over onto the tone arm. So that is all the charge there is on an RI. Don't imagine that sleeping beneath the surface is a slumbering volcano that something else can trigger. No, sir, there's no such thing. When you read one of these things and it goes, and then you read it again, ordinarily early on in a case, you only get half the RR or thereabouts. And when you read it again, you get a very tiny RR, about a quarter of an inch. And when you read it again, it goes tick. That's early on in a case. Well, what happened to the rest of the RR? You got to recognize that something happened to this RR, otherwise you'd be nagging the PC to find out what happened to the RR. Well, the RR evaporated. That's what happened to it. Now, you got to tell the difference between an RR that evaporated and an RR that was choked to death. Because they look different on the meter. And you just have to get your eye educated to be able to tell the difference. And it's pretty hard to do, and it's not 100% precision. I had to study in a meter, I don't know, hour two or three, and certainly something on the order of about 5 or 6 hours of auditing paying attention to just this one thing, till I finally got the subtle nuances of difference between them. So it's a case where experience is a very good thing to have. But we can make some very good general statements. You can see the back break on one of these things, too. Although what that means is just no more choke. See? And then you'll run into this one. The thing fell when he said it, and then you had him give you another version, coveting tibibly and something, and eradicably catfish, and wing-a-bingably catfish, and all of a sudden you'll see this fantastic rocket read on something that has nothing to do with the price of oranges, you see? And you say, give me the original item again, and you get a gorgeous rocket read. In other words, you had a rocket read sitting on top of it. Something in his own existence had pressed down on this thing and had transferred the reed from the RI to this other thing. In other words, it ate up the rocket reed, and the rocket reed was insisted in this one, so therefore wasn't on your plot. That's always what happens when you can't get a plot item to read. It isn't that the plot item isn't there. Electronics were broken down that way. The Hellotrobus boys really ought to get the manufacturer's seal of approval and the service seal of approval, because I have been looking in vain to have one of their damn squawk boxes not fire. It's obvious with that many squawk boxes and electronic implant boxes in any existing series that, well, it is obvious that their repairmen weren't all that good, because they're on cables and so forth, particularly those strung outside, those that are on the last implant of the first series, or were just there open to the weather. Well, I consider it very remarkable that they stay in operation. And I keep looking for a hole to occur in the line plot, don't you see? I've had my eye open on this now for the last 2,000 or 3,000 items, you know. Everything working. Wantably, fantastically, catfishably, and pow, it's working, there it reads. So I've just dropped it out of the line that there's something wrong with the electronic implant equipment as the PC went by. Okay, I've dropped that out. The reason I bring that up, that might occur to some of you, well, I guess that box wasn't working that day, see? Well, it's always possible that that is true, but I haven't found it to be true. They always worked. They should get the manufacturer's seal of approval and so forth. Their production boys and their service unit should have gotten the leather medal pinned on with a blanket pin, very deep. But the point I'm making here is that there's something wrong with the way the PC has approached this thing. And as your PC gets to flying on down the line, you less and less will have trouble with this. The point I'm trying to make to you, you do your job well at first, and your job gets easier. And you do a lousy job at first, and your job will not get easier, and it might even get harder. Now, the point where you make speed is to do your originals and earlies right. And then you'll make more and more speed, more and more speed, more and more speed. It goes faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And don't pull colossal blunders like letting your PC miss an item which remains fully charged, even though he hit it. You know, he couldn't get any rocket reads, he just went on by it. And then find your PC leaping into the second series. The source of all skips is a missed RI, and there's two ways to miss one. Just not have it at all, or not discharge it. In other words, a skip, flying into another bank, flying elsewhere, bouncing off the track, not being there in the incident anymore, is caused by missing an RI. either by not calling it at all, we go from covetably to inevitably or something of the sort, and we don't get the nicks in, see? Or we call it, it didn't fire, we don't get the charge off of it and simply go on. The next action the PC is liable to do is skip. You skip something, so he cues and A's, and he may go into the identical or the similar implant of the second series. And you suddenly find yourself running the second implant series. And you wonder, what's all this? The PC's being torn to ribbons. Nothing is roaring right. The thing is, the words aren't right. And all of a sudden, he says impassably and insurmountably, inevitably catfish. And you say, that isn't in the line plot. It's in the second series. Not those words are in the second series. I haven't got the second series plot. I've got some of it, though. And you say, where'd all this come from? What happened? What happened? What happened? Well, a good way to do that is to get your PC oriented early as to his surroundings. Have him close his eyes and take a look. He doesn't want to look very much. When you first start to run it, he will tell you it's terribly unreal. He can't see very much. And after you've done a bank or two, his reality on Visio will be getting greater and greater and better and better. And it's usable by the auditor. Now, PCs go up steps and down steps in the first implants. And they don't always just go down. They sometimes also go up, because that's more confusing. They don't turn around in the middle of a set of steps and go the other way. But they'll start a bank, and it'll go backwards to the last bank, so forth. So this is all very confusing. But you get a PC, so don't tell him you always go downstairs, because sometimes they go up, see? And sometimes the op terms are on the right, and sometimes they're on the left, which also makes it interesting. And sometimes a PC is sitting there with a line plot and says, this line plot ought to be printed in reverse, you know. Well, you can say it's printed right for at least half of the GPMs. Because it is. About half of them, it is reversed. See? Now, as the PC goes along, you can actually, and you can overdo this, you can make him put too much tension on and work him into it and yap at him and nag him and so forth, but it helps you out. And you say, take a look there. What do you see? And you say, well, I see his fly step. You say, well, are any of them gray? Yeah, he says, there's one down there that's gray. That's an RI you didn't get. Are any of those steps black? Yeah, well, there's one over here that's black, and the rest of them closer to me are white. Brother, something's wrong here. Something's missed, see? Oh, that's pretty crude repair. I myself don't use it, but I like to hear a PC tell me, those steps are all white now. Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. That tells you you haven't got a speck of charge left behind you, because those steps were black as ink the first time you went over them, see? But RI by RI, they turn white, see? Interesting, isn't it? You can even orient the PC. This is real trickery. I mean, these guys really set it up well. This is real trickery on a part of an auditor. Tricky. Sneaky. Before you list for the next goal, have the PC close his eyes and tell you what he sees. Find the next goal and its top op term. And then have the PC close his eyes and tell you if he's in the same locale that he was in before. Because if he's in a different locale, you've missed a cold bank. Tricky, huh? You get what I mean? These banks usually end at the top or bottoms of stairs. You've just gotten the last item, you see. He closed his eyes. All right, where are you? Well, I'm on this landing. All right, you got that, huh? You're on the landing. That's fine. All right, now we're going to get the next goal, and we get the next goal, and as soon as we've got it, and then we've got its the top up term of it, we have the PC close his eyes again, and we say, now where are you? Well, he says, I'm in the same place, but just one step down. That's fine. Tricky. That's using the scenery to confirm the fact you don't skip anything. You'll find out the PC has never had any Vizio. These implants are marvelous to run because the PC has never had any Vizio, has never seen anything, has never heard anything, has no sonic, has no Vizio, has no tactile, no kinesthetic, nothing. And he's been in this state ever since anybody has ever tried to run an engram on him. And this has been the bane of everybody's existence. You run him halfway through a bank or a quarter of the way through the first bank and all of a sudden he's got dim Vizio. You run him all the way through a couple of banks and boy, he's got Vizio. You run him through three banks and he's got kinesthesia. He can hear these crazy, he can get one of these crazy theta poles wobbling. He can feel wobble. See? And he'll come up to full sonic on this. Quite remarkable. We were sweated for years. All kinds of trickery to turn on the perceptics of a PC. Well, it's in the Helitrobus implants, right on the button. You run them, you got it. Well, you can use the scenery of the implant to orient the PC and tell whether or not you've missed items. In fact, there's a lot of trickery involved in this, see? As far as the auditor's concerned. He can get pretty slippy. Now, I don't ask you to get this slippy, but on certain flights of stairs, apparently, there are electric switches on the walls that tell you what goal the next bank is turned to. That's pretty good, isn't it? It's not in English, but the PC understood the language when he went through. PC told him, well, I know it's undoubtedly the right goal because it's marked up there on the wall. Well, he turned over the switch over to the goal to be happy. Apparently, this shifted all the relays and everything that was going on in the squawk boxes by just shifting one lever. I like to think that one of the operators accidentally threw the activation switch one day while setting up one of the series of goals. I like to think that happened. Anyhow, because actually the controls were on the landings and stairs. Pretty tricky. Now, all of this is very good news. And it's very good news from several quarters. One, the Helitrobus implants are incredible. It's unbelievable. Man on the street can run them, however. You just find to forget on the top op terms and just go along with your 3N patter, give him the thing. You don't have to write it all out for him. You shouldn't write somebody's whole bank out for him. He should have to think it out that much to keep him in the incident. You understand? You can give him the number and so forth, and you just tell him how to do this. He maybe even had to go home and read his dictionary and study to find out what ably was and so forth. But he doesn't know anything more about it than that. And he'll run this thing, and he'll run just about so long, and all of a sudden he'll start telling you that this was a long time ago and that this was this and this was that, and he'll really start holding forth on the subject. In other words, it runs as gently as that, requires no education. But the incredibility of it keeps it from being believed or usurped and used for evil purposes until we can control it. You'd be surprised the degree that we use incredulity as a protective security mechanism in Scientology. Just never forget that, because it's a marvelous one. It's a marvelous one. Oh, that Scientology says, balderdash, those people believe that, cult beliefs, and so forth. I very often feel like just patting those horses' heads just very smoothly and nicely and neatly and saying, good show, brother, good show, thank you. Because they're operating as a security screen far more effective than any security screen any of us could devise. You realize that the psychiatrist has just now found birth and prenatals. He's been chewing away on birth and prenatals for some time now, and he'll eventually graduate up to it. But what's to stop some Russian from putting one of these banks on a tape recorder and playing it off to somebody? What's to stop them? They don't think they'll go nuts. The only thing that will stop them is because, well, those Scientologists, they have some ridiculous beliefs. And that actually will protect us right up straight up to the point when we don't need any protection, which point will happen suddenly. So don't always revile this type of an attitude. Recognize that it has its uses. It wasn't designed that way, but it does have its uses. You realize that we might very well be under the gun of some government, or we might be here, we might be there, we might be... there might be barbed wire around St. Hill here until you couldn't get a mouse through, or an English rabbit. You know, guards all over the place. Hop to the revolt. All this stuff. Oh, just occur to you. Oh, hush, hush, hush. You imagine what that would do to you? Supposing I just heard today that somebody more or less didn't talk to the public about implants. Well, all right. The factor of incredulity tends to slow them down a little bit. They're afraid somebody will get in their faces. But remember this, they're putting themselves on a withhold. I almost classified the line plots. Then I said, no, I won't put anybody on that much of a withhold on this stuff because it's too tough. It'll be too tough on them. We'll just continue to depend upon incredulity. Now, that factor doesn't keep you from auditing a PC, however. You don't have to tell a PC anything. Ian is auditing a PC in here that never heard from nothing. And she ran down through the bank to forget gorgeously. Feels fine, feels wonderful. Doesn't even know where she is. Didn't know at the time, so what's the difference? You don't have to totally educate the PC, except maybe in word endings or something like that, in order to run them cold. Take the milkman out here, sit him down, get to forget to fire, get forgotten, get Nix forgotten. He said, what's this Nix? Well, that's just what you say at this stage. You say, all right, now give me number 3 there on the paper I gave you. You have to fill in the forgotten after. And you say, what's that mean? Well, it doesn't matter what it means. Say it. All right, that's fine. That rocket reads beautifully and so forth. There we go. And 3N, just roll it, see? Keep rolling. This guy goes on and he says, so he's saying, he says, he says. He ends up at the other end of the line. He said, now we have to find out what the next goal is. You know, goal? Yes, yes. Now, who or what would to forget? Pose. Just keep telling me, oh, well, you want it that way. And he goes on, he gives it to you, whatever it is. Remember, and so on. You say, that fires, that's it. She said, you know, I got a feeling that is it. Take him right on down. I don't think you could run him halfway through the first implants, but what he said, oh, wait a minute. This happened a long time ago. Now, I know you're going to argue with me, but it's sort of like this. I get an idea, I was living on this planet. See, and that's funny because, you know, so you see, that incredulity might deny you some PCs and may give you some catcalls, but it doesn't actually keep you from auditing anyone. You understand? You don't have to sell them on whole track before you audit them on whole track now. Because they're sitting right there, man. They're right there. They've been there ever since. And it flies. And your job as an auditor is just to do a technically perfect job on the thing. The only rough spot in auditing all these is auditing a goal you have that you haven't had run that is about to be run on you. Things tend to go kind of solid. But fortunately, there was quite a lot of variation in these goal patterns. And you don't follow that. It'd be quite strange to have 3 banks simultaneous between auditor and PC. That's a lucky break, isn't it? They change the thing often enough to keep it from being too restimulative while auditing. All right. This, then, gives the auditor a little bit of pause. The only place you really run into this is to forget. Therefore, one of the first duties an auditor has to get the bank to forget, run out very cleanly indeed. And he'll feel fine because the second bank doesn't much re-stimulate while you're auditing the thing. I've audited one of these recently on a bank that wasn't run out, and I felt like I was getting me head knocked off. And knew what it was. And knew why. And it was uncomfortable. But that was remediable because the bank, to be restimulative to that degree, must be very ripe and ready to be run almost at once anyway, don't you see? So it's coming straight up and it will be run. That's about the only liability there is to this stuff. Now, the fact that they can all be audited out very rapidly gives you no alibi whatsoever not to get them audited out. You haven't got any excuse at all not to audit them out. Now, the only excuse, pardon me, you do have one excuse not to audit them out if you don't have them. Now, how many people have got these? Well, it's the wildest kind of a guess, but I think we're up to about 5% don't. Don't have the heliotropous implants, or it's over their heads. It's a very small percentage. We've certainly moved up in percentage because everybody under the sun, moon, and stars we've been grabbing hold of got these. But we do have our 5%. Used to be a far, far greater percentage, don't you see? So we've closed it down to that degree. Now, what do you do with that 5%? You're going to have a certain amount of trouble with some of the 95% because they've only got the second implant, see, or something like that. I could anticipate running into some trouble of that character. But that isn't any trouble because they audit just like the first implant, except they have a different pattern. Till you get that pattern in your hands, just dog it off somehow or another and do the job. What about this remaining 5%? What can you do for those fellows? Well, they fall into two categories based on the mechanics of the time track. They'd fall into categories that do have the implants but cannot approach them, and those that don't have, and so they aren't there to be approached. There's no implants to be run. That is to say, there's implants on the case, but they aren't the heliotropous implants. And that fellow, to some slight degree, is slightly out of luck because he's got implants that are just as vicious as the heliotropous implants one way or the other, but they aren't the same pattern. They don't have patterns of that character. You can't handle them in the same way, and he's under that much liability, and so forth. That's sort of bad luck. Bad luck. Well, how'd this fella escape him? Well, he didn't escape him by being so tough and hairy-chested, you know, and not being picked up and all that sort of thing. No, he escaped him because he's from another galaxy. He ain't not native to this ear galaxy. You may find somebody who is native to this galaxy who never went through it. He was in so lousy a condition they ignored him, or something of the sort. I think you'll find that very rare, if it exists at all. No, we have to take up the possibility, not the possibility, we have to look at the factor. We have to look at the factor of the fact that this is a rim system that we are in right now. This is Sun 12, and it is a rim, tiny, microscopic, terribly insignificant little bunch of space dust. Not to do it down particularly, but compared to other systems, galaxies, confederations, and that sort of things, and other possessions of confederations and so forth, this is nothing. That's why it's left alone. But it stands pretty well alone. It's peculiarly isolated. This is also true of most of the stars out in this end of this wheel. You know, the galaxy is a big wheel. And the galaxy has a hub, and it has a rim. and we're very close to the rim. You look down into the southern horizon, you notice the stars in the southern hemisphere look terribly big and terribly bright. Well, it isn't that they're so much terribly bigger than other stars. That's just the end of the galaxy that you're looking at. That's the end. There's just that many between us and no more this galaxy. It's very close. And people wishing to get rid of troublesome characters, captives, anybody you can think of, you know, around city dumps, you know, they always have trouble around cities because people start using certain areas of the city for dumps, you know. And they use it as a dumping ground for the ice cube and for other things, unwanted beings, unwanted people, unwanted personnel, like you overthrow the old regime, you see, and you throw them through a good stiff implant that mixes them up so they can't tell north from west. And you throw them into an ice cube capsule of some kind or another. And what do you do with them? Well, the primary threat to a system is the strength of a thetan. That's the primary threat. In the view of some very aberrated character, he thinks the main danger in the planet or main danger in the system or the galaxy or so forth is a free thetan. The possibility also that a person who is acting as a doll or something like that can exteriorize from where he is and go home, pick up another body, and come back and raise the devil with him. In other words, these people have overt, so they try to protect themselves from the vengeance of a free thetan. And they compound the possibility and the potentiality of this particular universe as a trap. And they make these people very thoroughly trapped. Well, they dump them. They dump them pretty well far from home. They they don't dump them close in. They dump them way out. Well, Heliotropis threw any people that it implanted as far as possible. Oh, some of them wandered back, and some of them stayed around, and some of them didn't get badly affected and reported back and that sort of thing, but they also dumped people pretty far out. So this particular system got dumping, and the Markab Confederacy and some of the other stars around here just got a terrific concentration of people being dumped from the center of the hub. You know, you don't want to go over to the next galaxy, so they just take it out to the edge of the city, you know. All right, and this is close enough to other galaxies that ambitious characters over there trying to get rid of people out of their galaxies and systems and so forth would also use these rim stars. Now, you get down toward the center of this galaxy, and the possibility of finding somebody without the Heliotropis implants or finding any foreign implant system will probably be totally negligible. Probably non-extant, you see. But out here, you got a mixed bag. And we don't know what they did in the next galaxy, see? Now, science fiction writers, following the cue of some chap, I've forgotten his name now, Beinstein, something like that, who said that MC squared over C wouldn't go, man, and that the speed of light could not be excessive. And actually, I was looking up some speed tables the other day, and a trillion light years per day is not full throttle on a space wagon. So there's traffic between galaxies, and there's traffic between islands of galaxies and other islands of galaxies. Interesting. Has a lot, you say, well, this is science fiction. No. The only part of science fiction there are is the mistakes the science fiction writers have made while writing about their own past. They made a lot of errors there. The truth of the case is that it has a lot to do with you as an auditor suddenly. Not that you have to embrace science fiction, but you have to look at this possibility. You've got to face up to the isness of the thing. Man's greatest trouble in solving his own problems is he didn't have enough on the ball to face up to the isness of existence. And the reasons for that are very plain, short, succinctly stated. That case which evinces the greatest unreality about things is that case most subject to bank solidification in an effort to remember. That's a technical statement I just made and has a lot to do with your engram running. It's directly proportional. His effort to remember increases the solidity of his bank, which is painful to him, which then brings about his statement concerning unreality. See, that's proportional. The amount of unreality evinced by a case then is proportional to the amount of solidity caused in his time track by his efforts to remember. If his bank goes solid every time he tries to remember something, this becomes painful. So then he counters this by saying it is unreal. This fellow that tells you, I don't believe in past lives, is saying my time track goes solid when I try to remember. And it has an awful lot to do with you as an auditor, because that case that evinces great unreality must be given very gentle handling, and you cannot run an engram on that case. Not only you must not run an engram on that case, because the bank will go solid. Now, you could take almost anybody here and run them through an engram once. Let's take a late on the chain engram. We could run them through the engram once. We get away with it. We can run them through twice. We can get away with it. This is not a basic on a chain, see? We run it three times, and it starts to get kind of solid. And we run it four times, and by golly, that's getting awful solid. And we run that engram five times, and wow! It's getting tough, man. And we ran it six times, we'll just freeze him in it. It takes 3 to 10 days for the thing to key out and go soft again. Which it will do. Now, that's true of anybody here. I'm talking about something late on a chain. You understand? Those engrams have always given us trouble. They've always been sticky, and it even says in book one, don't run them. You have to brush them off enough sometimes. You can always take a case through them once, you know, to get back early. By the time you've taken them through 2-3 times, you wish you hadn't. The bank's going solid. Well, now, this case of tremendous unreality goes solid on one pass. You practically can't examine the bank. It's practically as much as your life's worth to even date this character. If you could perfectly and accurately date without any flaw in your auditing, yes, it would soften up the bank. But if you're clumsy in dating and you date this fellow without any great reality anyhow, the little errors you make will throw him off enough to beef up the bank, and he gets a greater unreality than before. There is a coordination between unreality and solidity, which is reversed. The greater solidity, the more unreality the person will advertise. Even though the engram gets very real to him when it gets solid, general bank solidification and so forth brings about unreality. Why is this? Because the basic mechanism of the time track has the liability of making the thetan go solid. How does the thetan cease to be clear and start going solid? How does he become solid? Well, by making a time track in the first place, of course. And the more this track is jammed and the less he has to do with it, of course, the less is as-is about it. Well, that's just general time track. Now, what about implants? Why do we specialize in implants? It's because an implant is the product of an ARC break plus solidification. If you wanted to run old ARC break straight wire, recall an ARC break, recall an ARC break, you would find the guy sitting eventually 3D in an implant. This guy sees a theta trap, that's a warning to him that he's not wanted around here. And it causes an ARC break. And all these traps and such devices and so forth and betrayals are basically ARC breaks. Now, the method a thetan uses to handle an ARC break is to bring about an unreality, which he usually does with a not is, don't you see? And it becomes the common denominator of the bank then to have an unreal bank, because if it gets real, it hurts too much. So your effort to persuade him that this is real, that he is looking at, of course does him a tremendous disservice because it hurts like the mischief. The only safeguard he has against being caught in a solid bank, you see, and being upset by a solid bank is by saying it is not real and not permitting you to find anything real on it. Now, that type of case is going to give you some trouble, because you will try to prove to the case the reality of what you're doing. And because what you are doing is real, you can do that very easily. And just results in a total overwhelm of the case. You can all too easily prove that what you're doing is real. So when somebody starts telling you about how unreal it all is, if you're running the Hellotrobus implants, you go right on running them, man, because that'll do the most for him that can be done. The most that can be done for the case is get those implants run. Real or unreal. But you can't find those implants, and he says it's terribly unreal, and all is unreal, and everything is unreal. You can't find forgotten and mixed forgotten and so forth, and you just can't get any place like this. Brother, you watch it. One of two things is true. You either have your paws on somebody who's not a native of this universe, I mean this galaxy. He's a native of adjoining galaxy. You don't know the pattern of his implants. Or you've got on your hand somebody who has been so implanted so often that just the thought of 5 minutes ago gives him a headache. Why? To give him a headache. Because he thinks of 5 minutes ago, and the action of remembering causes solidification of the bank, which causes pressure to come in, and he got a headache. So his only protection against this is to make you unreal and not is it. His last weapon on the bank is to not is. And in the absence of his not is, he damn near dies. You see? What do you do with him? Well, this is not, I haven't time to give you all the data on some of the material I've been unearthing with regard to this. But I've been developing quite a bit of little odds and ends of technology concerning the time track and its automatic nature and its state of manufacture and that sort of thing. I just realized just this afternoon that we have a straight wire process that does an awful lot for this case. We're making him remember, and the track is going less solid. And I'll be developing quite a few. I'll tell you, just not to leave you on the hook. There's an involuntary intention. I've discovered an involuntary intention. you have involuntary muscles, and you've got habit patterns and training patterns and all this sort of nonsense. Well, add to up that in a thetan to an involuntary attention. He wants to open the door, and so he just opens the door. See, he involuntarily opens the door. In other words, he just opens the door. I found I used to answer telephones this way. Plonk, you know. And telephone ring, plonk, you know. Telephone appears, you know, off the hook and so forth. Actually, you've intended it up there. You got the idea. It's been intended into a new position. Well, that's an involuntary intention. That apparently is the same mechanism that creates the time track. It's an involuntary create. You see, so that's an involuntary intention. And it belongs to this set of thetan muscles, if you'll forgive me, which operate without intention, without knowing intention, but have a sub-awareness intention. And a thetan can do this. He doesn't have to have a bank, machinery, or anything else. He just simply can do it. Well, that forms a time track. Now, solidification of the track is caused by combat of the postulate, be solid. You see, everybody wants you to be solid. You don't want to be solid. That makes enough fight right there to solidify something. Well, it goes worse than that. The solidification mechanism is composited by remembering, naturally. And you, as an auditor, are actually handling, when you handle the time track, the involuntary intention of the thetan. That's what the time track is. It's an involuntary intention to create. It just responds automatically. And you say, go here, go there, do this, do that. And he has pictures. Where the pictures come from? Well, they come from this involuntary intention. You're just handling that mechanism. Well, you can handle that mechanism directly. You can handle the mechanism directly. And if you could get a case unbailed enough, this is actually the plot, you get a case unbailed enough and go early enough on the time track and you can actually snip the whole track, see? And it just rolls up like it's just nowhere now. See? It's the existence of the time track that makes memory impossible. But it is the obsession to remember which makes the time track involuntary intention take place in the first place. So any goal, like to remember, raises hell with solidification. Or any implant that louses up, and they all do, a thetan's memory or sense of time result in a solidification of the time track by taking over the involuntary create that brings about the time track. See that? So you say, what, you say to the PC, what instinctive action has been regretted? I don't care what fancy wording, it's as long as it adds up to that sense. In other words, what involuntary action have you engaged in which you then choked off and made an enemy out of, see? What instinctive action was regretted? What instinctive action have you disliked? You know, anything you wanted to go at it, you've got a straight wire process which actually runs implants. It runs them at the rate of a snail racing madly alongside of the quarter horse of doing the Hellotrobus implants, but you nevertheless, there is a door open. In other words, the door is not slammed tight in these fellows' faces, even if they are not native to this particular galaxy, and even if their sense of reality is so great that all this could happen. And I'll develop a few of those processes, and oddly enough, I don't think the patterns are innumerable. I think possibly maybe 5 or 6 different case patterns, maybe more than that. But if you come up against one of them as an auditor, and you decide the only thing you can do is just run engram after engram after engram, watch it, man. Because you're going to get a solidification of the track, and you're going to get that PC in trouble. So don't go in for this engram after engram after engram, see? Hit them lightly with a feather. Now, if you're lucky enough to be able to get a basic like 350 trillion years ago, and it's an overt, and it's basic on it, well, you're in, man. You can handle that, because, of course, that'll erase. so forth. But how about this fellow who is very unreal? You're going to get a 350 trillion incident when he can't get breakfast? You're sure not, see? In other words, it's all done with the feather. You run into the case that hasn't got the Helitrobus implants, you handle with a feather, huh? Don't go charging and barging around. Open that case up gently, and I'll try to give you some straight wire processes and things like this that gradually pet the shadow of the cat. Okay. Well, there's a lot of stuff turning up on this, that, and the other thing. It's all very interesting. It mostly comes under the heading of phenomena and data and that sort of thing. I've recently been studying the power, activities, and habits of an operating Thetan, just from an intellectual basis, but with some view of reality, which I really haven't had on this too well before. I find we have here a fairly complex being, and a very, very formidable one. His ethical level and that sort of thing deteriorating was what got him into trouble in the first place. So when you put him back together again, of course his ethical level had to be put back together again too, otherwise he'd just get in trouble and get everybody else in trouble. But the point I'm making here is that the state of OT is so far above anything we have ever dreamed of that I say our breakthrough along this line is tremendous. So tremendous that we had better start getting our house in order, not to protect ourselves from OTs, that isn't the point, but it means that a political breakthrough is, puh. You have any trouble eating breakfast? See? We'd be shooting mice with an elephant gun, don't you see? And we're not about to attack anybody or do anything bad like that. Well, we might have a few heart-to-heart talks. So actually, I have had to be plotting up in front of us a bit politically about where did we go and how do we relate to, and I find some very interesting data. Probably some of you have past connections of one kind or another when you suddenly say, I wonder how I forgot that. You'll probably have to go take care of these things. But the basic thing is that this planet is peculiarly susceptible to be a rehabilitation base and so forth at this part of the universe, and I think that can be sold to even most of the confederations. I don't think we have to sell it to much of anybody else. I don't think they'll be in a position to argue. They've only got atom bombs. We got OTs. Okay, thank you very much.